Hello, and welcome to Business Beyond Usual. I'm Sheila Lal. I am an MBA too. But before we get started, we'd love to hear from you. Get in touch at bbupodcast@umich.edu. Our next episode will focus on mental health in business school, and we'll have experts on to answer questions you might have about how to manage the stresses that come with recruiting and studying and even applying to business school. If you have questions, send them our way at bbupodcast@umich.edu or find a link to an anonymous submission form in the show notes for today's episode. And also, if you're going to listen to the show, you should go ahead and subscribe. You can subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And as of today, BBU is now available on Spotify. Okay, so now that we've gotten all that out of the way, I'm so excited to introduce Rebecca Toth and Dana Miller. We're going to be talking about finance. This was a little bit selfish on my end. I don't understand the first thing about finance, and I wanted to hear what two awesome humans who interned in finance this summer thought about it. So if you guys could introduce yourselves. Becca, you first.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you for having me. My name is Becca Toth. I'm from California originally. And before Ross, I was in consulting and in IT at a company called Splunk. However, wanted to move more into the business side of things, came to Ross and decided to focus specifically on finance.
Sheila, thanks so much for having us both. It's really exciting to be here. I'm Dana Miller. I also am from California originally, but I've been on the East Coast for about 10 years, minus my time here at Ross. And prior to school, I did a number of things, but most recently, higher educational fundraising. And so I came to school with an image of what I wanted to do, and then you come to school and you meet all these different people, and I was able to sort of hone in on finance as a potential career. And I was lucky enough to spend my summer interning in the field, and it sort of confirmed what I had hoped.
So we're going to get to what internships you all had in just a minute, but I'm really curious for both of you, what caused that shift? Like, what was the spark from consulting and IT work and then higher ed fundraising to want to do finance, or like to start even exploring it?
Okay, I guess I'll go first. I've always been interested in finance and in the markets. My undergrad degree was in economics. However, I graduated around the financial crisis, so it didn't seem like a good industry to go into around that time. So I was fortunate to have really good learning opportunities in the interim. However, being in tech, it's really hard to move up if you don't have an engineering degree. And so I decided to use my MBA as a time to go back and focus on the business side of things and use my analytical skills and kind of put that into finance. What was interesting is that I did the career assessment that you have to take before you come to Ross, and it said I was a 99% match for venture capital.
Whoa.
Didn't know what that was. I came to the career center and they're like, well, you really can't do venture capital straight out of business school, or it's hard to pull that off. So focus on banking for now. And they're giving out scholarships for women.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that sounds interesting. Let's try it out.
Okay. So question about venture capital. Do you still not know what it is? Because I don't know what it is.
I've definitely come a long way since a year ago. So I'm involved in the Wolverine Venture Fund and, continuously learning in that space. So
very cool.
My path to Ross was quote unquote non-traditional, which is not my favorite term, but I like to think of it as non-linear. So I had actually worked at a hedge fund in New York City prior to working in higher ed. So the world was not completely new to me. Mm. The role and function in which I am pursuing was new, but there were a lot of parallels between my role working in fundraising and the role I was pursuing in finance. Mm-hmm. And similar to Becca, I have a background actually in international affairs. And one thing I really liked about the markets was that they're always tied to world affairs mm-hmm. and politics. And so you're actually always keeping a pulse on what's going around the world. And that to me was really compelling. And I actually haven't really found too many other industries that allow you to be so so in the know all the time.
Fascinating.
Great.
Yeah. So you decide you were going to come to Ross and you're going to explore finance. What did you do in your first year to academically prepare for the recruiting aspect?
So I would say I went after all the opportunities they had up front in the curriculum, so the fast track finance program and waiving out of accounting. So that was a good way to just kind of hit the ground running and seeing if it would be a fit for me. And then on top of that, for banking recruiting, you have to do a lot of independent study outside of the classroom. So there, we have the investment banking 400 questions that you just have to like memorize.
Wow.
And then following the markets, seeing what's going on, reading the news, the Wall Street Journal, and then also following certain deals that are really exciting and kind of analyzing and picking them apart.
And so what are this like nebulous investment banking 400 questions? What is that like?
I actually loaned my note cards to someone and I feel like I lost my brain trust and I'm hoping to get those back. But, you know, they cover the accounting. So they go from basic to advanced accounting. There's valuation. So discounted cash flow, precedent transactions, and comparable companies. And then there's also M&A and leverage buyout questions.
And M&A, for those who may not know, is mergers and acquisitions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I did not go the investment banking route and was in private wealth this summer. And private wealth is a little bit different. It's very relationship-based. And so a lot of it is about networking and making sure that people understand that you're willing to pick up the phone and make those calls to bring in business. But the other side of it is also reading the Wall Street Journal, understanding, you know, what is the price of oil today? And so there aren't technical questions maybe the same way as investment banking recruiting, but you also have to know what are some general trends? Can you explain what a yield curve is? Mm. And just be sort of prepared for these curveball questions that might come up in conversations.
So you bring up the difference in preparing for iBanking and for private wealth management, but what are the differences from a pure definitional standpoint? Like what do each of those careers entail?
So I would say, and feel free to chime in,
yeah,
Dana, but for investment banking, we're kind of, the way I describe it to someone who's not really familiar with the space is it's kind of like a realtor for companies. Right. So if you're looking to buy a house, you would consult a realtor and they would know the market and they would ask like what your requirements are, what would be a good fit for your needs. And so they would go out and then bring back some homes that would meet your criteria. And then they would tell you the price range. And is this high considering or is it low considering the current market conditions? And so it's the same way as a banker would work with a company, you know, depending on the strategic imperatives of the company. A banker would provide ideas, and then also there's a financing element of it. So looking to raise debt to be able to fund the transaction or consider equity and what are the implications of that.
That is the clearest definition I've heard of that entire field. Thank you.
That's well done.
Yeah, that is why you were invited.
Private wealth is, I think, a little bit more nebulous and actually is tied to investment banking in the sense that if you're in a leadership role at one of these companies that's going through some kind of M&A transition, you might be going through something called a liquidation event. And essentially that means you come into a lot of cash. And where do you put that? And so private wealth works with individuals, families, foundations, endowments, and works to invest that money in the market. So, you know, equities, also known as stocks, fixed income, bonds, and hedge funds, private equity, something like that. So I see it as bringing in the business through whatever channels necessary, again, through ties in investment banking or contacts in other settings, and then also the investment part of it. So it's sort of a two-part two-part process, and depending on where you work, it's divided up differently.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. So we are going to quickly take a break. I wanted to give our sponsors a little shout-out. Today's episode of Business Beyond Usual is brought to you by, appropriately, the Finance Club here at Michigan Ross.
No way.
The Finance Club at Ross supports MBA students recruiting for corporate finance or investment banking positions through educational events, technical trainings, and interview prep. We lead career treks to New York, Chicago, and San Francisco to ensure that students have firsthand exposure to alumni at key companies, and also organize and facilitate speaker series, corporate presentations, and networking events. First and foremost, however, we bring MBA 1s and MBA 2s together so there's a strong cohort of finance professionals within the broader Ross community. So thank you to the Finance Club for sponsoring today's episode, and thank you, Becca, for inadvertently promoting some of the stuff that they help you prep with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to
be here today without them. So
yeah. And like last year, the president was Vice. She was on the show as well. Mm-hmm. And this year's president is Lucy. So it's really awesome to see strong leadership continue through the club. So we talked about why you thought finance would be a good fit. We talked about some of the academic things that you started to do when you arrived at Ross, but we haven't talked about what recruiting is actually like. So we know that Fall A is really busy for investment banking recruiting. All I saw last year was all these suits running around and I had no idea what was going on. So could you illuminate what that actually means?
Okay. For investment banking recruiting, it's an experience. It's like a transformative experience. You come in, you know, not knowing anything about finance, and you come out of it just knowing way more than you thought you would. And it's just a boot camp. Mm. Like, it is the fastest way if you're to learn about finance. Mm-hmm. And I would say what you're seeing is a lot of these students going to corporate presentations. So it's a long process. It's really emphasizing networking, getting to know the banks, because kind of at the end of the day, they all do the same thing. So you're trying to find a fit culturally, because you're going to be working long hours mm-hmm. with these people. And so that means meeting them again, continuing to have conversations, talking with them in New York, mm-hmm. and then getting to know them more and more, and then also them testing you on your knowledge and how interested you are in finance, in the market, in banking, and that specific industry.
So when you say culture fit, mm-hmm. what does that look like in banks?
I guess I would say, you know, just you're going to be working really long hours mm-hmm. with the same people. So it's kind of that test, like, would you want to be stuck at a bar in an airport and your plane's delayed with this person?
Okay.
And like, will they keep you motivated? Mm-hmm. And are you inspired? So that's what I would consider.
Okay. And then when you did the interviewing, mm-hmm. what was that, like a 1-2 round process, or was it more extensive?
So the way it was explained to me, and I would say it was very accurate, is when you start the process, you know, you're going to corporate presentations, you're doing circles of death, you're flying to New York, you're doing coffee chats with people, and then they're coming back and they're having kind of these case studies, and slowly people are not invited back.
Yeah.
And so by the end of it, when you actually have your formal interview, they kind of already know who they're going to give offers to.
Okay.
So you're always on every time you have an interaction with a bank.
What is that like from like an emotional and like mental bandwidth perspective?
I mean, it was very stressful, but what was nice about it is that you're in a cohort, right? Mm. The finance club, you're all on the same team. You're all going through the same stresses, and you're all encouraging everyone and cheering each other on. They want everyone to come out of it with an offer. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that you're not really going through it alone. I think if I had to go through that process again completely alone, that would just be terrible.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. That's really good insight. And definitely makes me empathize more with the suits running around.
Yeah.
But Dana, what was your recruiting like? Because private wealth management seems significantly more niche, at least at Ross.
It definitely is. The nice thing about investment banking is there's a pretty structured process for MBA ones when they come in. Private wealth is not so structured. I was pretty late in the year when I got my offer, and I believe we don't have any banks that do on-campus private wealth, or if we do, not many. So the Investment Management Club is a really great resource, but you're sort of on your own. Mm. So there are people who worked in it during the summers, and our career development office has a few contacts that you can sort of start with, but it really requires networking on your part to reach out and begin to talk to people. And similar to what Becca said, all these banks have different personalities and sort of attract a different kind of person. And so it's really up to you to figure out where you fit in and where you can sort of envision yourself. And then the time frame, I'm not sure if it's the same for every bank. Mm-hmm. And so you might not get an offer as early as the investment bankers.
Okay.
So you might, but it might be more of a just-in-time situation, which I think is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Yeah. So one of the questions from our staff is, why did the investment banks, or why did the banks bring food and not let you eat it?
So to clarify, the banks aren't the ones not letting you eat it. It's, well, at least last year, it was the finance club leadership.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the intent, and it's with good intention. So, you know, when you're at a corporate presentation and you're networking, we want everyone to look polished because we want everyone to get a job. Mm-hmm. And also very focused on the banks and like utilizing their time most effectively. And I guess, you know, if you are going after the food during those presentations, yeah, it can be misinterpreted, or you might not be getting the opportunities. And then some people are like good at eating and talking, mm-hmm, and some people aren't. So it just makes sense to have a uniform rule: don't eat. But I think this year, they have gone away with that.
Oh, interesting. That's a whole nother set of questions.
Right.
So we're going to take another break. I want to give another spot for our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Out for Business, the LGBTQ and Ally Student Association at Michigan Ross. Out for Business provides community and professional development for LGBTQ and Ally students and promotes awareness of LGBTQ issues among the wider Ross community. Some of our annual activities include MB Gay, an annual charity fundraiser and Ross's biggest party, and other professional development activities. Our recent Coming Out Week activities included Rossers sharing their coming out stories live on stage and a concert with the Ross rock band Risky Business. Help make a more inclusive Ross with Out for Business. Also, Coming Out Week's been really great.
And fun.
Yeah.
Been fun.
Like tonight's Risky Business, and I don't know if you guys were at the Coming Out Stories yesterday.
I wasn't able to. Was it good?
It was really good, and they fielded questions really nicely.
Oh, nice.
Thought about diversity in their own workplaces, mm-hmm, which kind of brings me to my next question around diversity in finance. Like, how do you feel about existing in that world as people who may not look like the majority culture?
Yeah. Great question.
You wanna go first?
Sure. Yeah. I think the one thing about banking is it's not an illusion at this point that there are underrepresented or there's a lack of underrepresented sort of people, mm-hmm, in banks. And I think there is a stronger push than maybe other industries, mm, to actually bring in a diverse skill set.
Okay.
And so I've actually been very pleased with how open these banks are to sort of addressing issues in a way that I'm not sure like the tech sector is really there yet.
Yeah.
That being said, there are some, I think, uphill challenges, but I also think that we're in this wonderful position coming out of Ross to actually be a voice of change, mm-hmm, and change the face of what banking looks like.
Yeah, I agree. And I do feel that the finance industry is, you know, definitely wants to change, and they kind of have to. There's such a like scarcity of good talent. So they are like the women's scholarship I was mentioning, mm-hmm, earlier for recruiting. They're offering a lot of opportunities for underrepresented populations, uh-huh, to like consider investment banking and then for like reasons why I'm still doing it and like what motivates me is, you know, these are really major capital decisions that are taking place in the economy, like massive corporations, there's jobs at stake. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be very good to have like more diversity of thought involved in that process. And so even though it might not look right now like it's very diverse, it's definitely coming a long way. And I think I encourage people to consider it going forward for that reason alone.
I'm not going to lie, both of you are low-key convincing me that maybe I should have thought about finance for influence reasons. But when you're talking about the lack of high-quality talent, what can potential applicants to Ross and potential applicants to these firms think about in terms of building their skill sets and building that capacity early on?
Great question. I think the one thing neither of us has really mentioned yet is that I think you really have to want it. Mm. It's not, certainly investment banking, you're not just going to walk into those job offers. And certainly once you're there for the summer, and Becca can speak to this, it's not a walk in the park.
Yeah.
And so it's something that you have to want. And that I'd say is a really critical piece. The other part of it is read the news. You know, it seems really simple, but we all get wrapped up in our own lives and, you know, can be in a bit of a bubble, but there are, you know, great listservs you can get on that will break down, you know, top 10 stories, and Wall Street Journal does it, and, you know, New York Times, all the big news outlets do it. But then there's also like the Skim and some like easier to digest ways of getting your news. And then I would say the Ross Network has really been phenomenal as I've thought about transitioning into this field. Mm-hmm. And get on the phone. I have not had a single alumni say no to me.
Wow.
Including people at all different levels in banks. Incredibly receptive to getting on the phone for 30 minutes and allowing me to ask, you know, some very naive questions. Mm-hmm. And they want to help. And I think that's something that is really useful when you want to figure out whether or not going into finance or banking is right.
And so I would say, yes, definitely leverage the Ross Network. But in investment banking, mm-hmm. there is a process that you have to follow.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a time where you have to kind of have a certain skill level mm-hmm. or have gone through some basic fundamentals with the finance club mm-hmm. so that you're ready to have those conversations with alumni, because, you know, they're working long hours.
Yeah.
The investment bankers are working long hours. You don't want to be wasting their time. They might not be like as patient with some questions mm-hmm. at times, but again, but they're the ones spearheading the recruiting here at Ross. So they're definitely looking to grow the ranks. In terms of like skill sets to get you prepared or to consider it, like if you have an analytical mind and you are interested in a lot of like what's going on in the news, just and the mechanics of it mm-hmm. and how things are getting like funding to pull off these transactions, mm-hmm. Then, you know, I would definitely encourage you to explore investment banking. Really, this is, if you come to business school, it's your only chance to do this. Like once you decide later, like the ship has already sailed. So you might as well give it a go so that you can say, hey, I gave it a go. Wasn't for me. At least I tried.
Yeah.
And then in terms of how to be successful when you do decide to pursue it, leverage MBA 2s. They went through the process. Just know your 400 questions and understand like the rationale behind it, not just memorizing it. So, but it's actually kind of nice because you like these are the questions.
Yeah.
Like they don't extend beyond that. If you have a fundamental understanding of these questions, then you should be pretty much good. And you follow what's going on in the news.
So we're wrapping up, but I do want to understand, did your prep for interview recruiting mm-hmm. actually play into your summer, both of you?
I would say yes. I had a project this summer where I was trying to synthesize portfolios and trying to do weighted averages mm-hmm. and figure out what was going on. And I actually brought my finance notes with me to my summer in New York because I thought I would be using this information, and I did. So it maybe wasn't exactly how I had expected it to play out, But yeah, I think what you're studying, at least in private wealth, and understanding how markets are related, and certainly why you're investing in certain asset classes, mm-hmm. that does come into play. And I'm excited to see what other, you know, what other things for my summer are going to come to the fore this year.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say absolutely. I mean, I didn't have my note cards with me at my desk, but, you know, all the concepts like were coming to light during the internship. And then also, you mentioned how the Finance Club does technical trainings. Mm-hmm. So those technical trainings you do again when you start your internship.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's really just taking those concepts and then like, how does that come out in Excel? Basically, and like building a financial model. And so that's kind of what you're doing more in a day to day. One thing I didn't expect was just the intensity of PowerPoint. So, you know, that's why there's also some consultants that consider going to banking, and they do very well because, you know, you're making a lot of PowerPoint decks as well.
The other thing I would say is I did not expect to use Bloomberg this summer. And I wish that I had utilized our Tazi Center, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And gotten some very like elementary Bloomberg training because it's there and it's a phenomenal resource and it can do like really magical things. And so I think there are some really wonderful resources here for, you know, different segments of the financial sector.
Yeah. And Tazi also has FactSet too, which I used a lot in my internship. So.
Well, Becca and Dana, thank you both so much for taking your time and like really helping us dive into what finance means. And I don't know, I'm really, really excited that you guys put forth like that much information. So Business Beyond Usual is brought to you by the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Executive producers are me, Sheila Lal, Marjay Smiles, and Christopher Acme. Our team of MBA producers include Leslie Chang, Dylan Corey, Jamel Curler, Adam Fasher, Andres Fuentes-Affleck, Charlie Grant, and Jason Rock. Jonah Brockman did our recording and editing today. Thank you, Jonah. And thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Sheila, and this is Business Beyond Usual.